Welcome. How good is it to be in the house of the Lord, just together with our friends? Isn't it awesome, the kingdom of God? I had this thought this week that if I wasn't in the kingdom, I probably wouldn't be hanging around the people I was hanging around, because they probably don't have much to do with me or me to them. But because it's the kingdom, he actually brings people who would not usually be together together. And it's amazing how God does that. I love that, you know. There's no real subculture that we have to actually sit into. We just got to be in the kingdom of God. So it's an exciting time. I want to tie this whole thing into our continuation into the land of renewal. And for the last few years now, the Holy Spirit's been giving us all a revelation of this land of renewal. And I'm going to make this statement probably every time I speak, is that I believe that salvation are the shoes that enable you to walk to the door of revival, which enables you to go into the land of renewal, which makes you a steward of the kingdom throughout the whole cosmos. And so I'm just going to keep saying that, because I believe that the Holy Spirit has way more for us than just to have a good feeling in a church service. He has way more for us than just to be able to release healing and miracles. He actually wants us to be stewards of the kingdom of God. And so that's new language, and it comes with new paradigms. And so I'm going to be asking a few people to help me translate what's happening into plain language so we can all get it. And I'm not going to apologize for the revelation that God is releasing, but I do apologize if I don't communicate it as best he wants me to. And so what we're going to do is look at how we can translate the revelation that God's giving us all into plain language so we can understand it better. I will never apologize for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So we're going to have some real fun today. How good is the Lord? He's amazing. I really don't have to preach, because the testimony is the spirit of prophecy. So all of us just got swept up into the prophetic realm, which is really good. And I want to give you something this morning. I want to release the prophetic grace that's on my life. I want to release it to you so you can step into as much of the prophetic that God has for you. Not because we don't carry different things, but because in the fivefold ministry, as we step into our callings, we actually start to release a grace that people can take and actually go into it. And so it's going to be real fun this morning as we move through. You know, who's ever had something strange at first and then it turned out to be really, really good? Amen? Yeah. And what I want to say first off is that Jesus Christ is the one who's leading us into the land of renewal. We're not going in there with some weird dream or vision or weird spirit. We are under the tutelage, the apprenticeship, and the anointing of Jesus Christ. And he's the one who is taking us into this new place. But sometimes it can feel strange at first. When I became a parent, I felt strange. But as I got used to becoming a parent, I felt familiar with that. Amen? So just because something is strange at first doesn't mean it's wrong. But we've been taught in society that if something's strange, it's wrong. Well, if it's in Christ, it can't be wrong. It can only be right. But it may feel a bit strange at the start, but that's okay. So as we move into this, as we continue on over the next few decades, you hear that word? The next few decades. Then that, maybe there's more. Maybe there's 10 decades, praise God. Then we would believe that we're going to go deeper and higher and wider and further into what he has for us. It's going to actually take us into what one of our elders, Michael, says, which is unfamiliar places. Just because it's unfamiliar doesn't mean it's a bad place. It just means that we haven't really had much time there, and so we need to spend time with Jesus in that place to ensure that we are getting familiar with it. How boring would it be if we were just living in familiar things all the time? Amen? And then that leads us into a place called uncharted territory. And uncharted territory, or pioneering, as James Kenney puts it, is this place where stuff hasn't really been done before like that. And so when we do it, we shouldn't be abrupt with each other or get upset at each other. We should actually just, you know what, Jesus is leading us this way. And if it's going to happen that way, amen. And so even myself, I'm finding myself submitting to things and ways and systems that the Holy Spirit is giving us that I would not usually walk in. But because we are submitted under him, I feel confident in myself to submit under what the Lord is doing. even if I feel unfamiliar, even if it's uncharted territories, and even if it feels sometimes strange. Amen. Is that clear? Amen. That's good. And so I want to look today at what's called apostolic light. This is not some catchphrase for you to take away and use in the Christian world now. Apostolic light is you have been given the light of the world. But you haven't been taught how to steward it well, because the church in the West especially has taught you that, oh, you can only have a little bit of light because it's all about Jesus. And where's Rach? It is about Jesus, but it's also about us. And so I didn't realize Rach was going to say that, but I've got some slides about that in a moment, which is really confirming for me. And so, yes, it's all about Jesus, but if it was all just about Jesus, then he could just do everything himself and he'd have no participation with us. But he is a participatory man and a participatory king, and he wants us to participate with him to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so apostolic light is all about you understanding, if you want a goal for today, which I don't give you, but the Holy Spirit might, I want you to move away from this place today, anyone listening on the podcast, I want you to move away from this place with the understanding that you carry the very light of the world. And I want you to understand one thing. I want you to go from thinking that you reflect light to actually emitting light. I'm going to prove it in the scripture to you today that Jesus never asked us to reflect himself. He asked us to emit light. That's how much trust he has with us as people. He hasn't got a trust issue with us. He says in Ephesians chapter 3 that the fullness of God dwells in you. Yeah, if you don't know what the word of God is, just read that verse for about 1,000 years, okay, and just fill yourself with that every day. But the apostolic light, what it does, it actually releases this, the light of Christ, so you can actually go into a situation and you can be like Peter, who in Acts 5 it says they brought out men and women on cots and pallets, and even if his shadow from the emitting of light fell on that person, then they were made well. It says everyone who was brought out. And so during the week I put up a post, some of you might have seen it, and I asked the question, how is your shadow? You think this is guys like right out there. But your shadow should be affecting things in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to prove to you today that in the word of God, Jesus doesn't want us to be people filled with light. He wants us to emit his light. You know what it says, Jesus said about himself, he said, I am the light of the world. Amen? He then said, you have the light of the world. If you go and study that carefully, it's exactly the same sentence that he put himself, he put in you. So the very light of Jesus Christ that he walked in, which was actually the light as radiant as the sun's beams. And then he said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I know when I go out in the sun, I go one color. It's red. I can even get burnt in winter outside. Right? Kath often makes I love this joke she makes, that I'm going to go brown when two of my freckles join together. Right?
I've seen it happen.
Amen. Amen, Chris. Fake tan all the way. Kath can go under a halogen light and she can become almost dark-skinned. I go under a halogen light and start to melt, right? We have this light in our bathroom, this heat lamp. Who's got a heat lamp, amen? Man, now I start sweating. I think to myself, I'm going to burn in here, right? Oh, imagine that. I'm just about to get in the shower. I just put sunscreen on, lather up. Hallelujah, right? But Christ wants us to know today, I've come here with permission from the Holy Spirit to give you permission that you have the light of the world living in you, and that light needs to get out. But there's no formula to get out. All it is this: believe that the light of Christ lives in you, and then it goes forth. So we're going to have some fun today looking at these scriptures. Psalm 34 also says that you are radiant. So with the light, and I was really good. I rang Sydney University Astrophysics Center. They didn't get back to me. I said, who's this weirdo? I left the message. G'day, I'm just studying emitting of light and reflecting. Can you get... No one got back to me. But God was so gracious in his kindness towards me that on Wednesday, I met someone who is actually in their last year of doing astrophysics at university. Praise God, right? And I said to them, can you tell me about emitting light? And they said, why? And this person's a believer. And I said, because I'm going to talk about emitting light. And she's like, oh, that's really exciting. No one ever asked me about emitting light. And so there's some treasure that she gave me that I want to release to you guys that lines up with our scripture as we go through. You know, in Philippians, it says this, shining as stars as we step further in. Do you know the word, the translation for stars there? Someone please tell me what it is. It's a star, right? But have you ever gone out at night and seen the shining star? How bright is that? You know, she said to me, when you look at a star, you're actually looking back in time. I was like, whoa, that blew my mind away. And then she said, the closer you get to a star, the hotter and the brighter it gets. And I was like, wow. And so God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus call you to shine that brightly in this generation. And it wasn't a little fanciful thing. Oh, please shine. Oh, please shine. You seen those kids sing that song? This little light of mine. That's an error. That's not a little light. No, no, no. Cut that out. Cut that out. It's not a little light. It's the light of the world. And if we teach our kids that's a little light, you know, they carry the light of the world. Not some little junior light that's going to get all of a sudden transformed into a big light later on. They carry the light of the world. Amen. Sorry if I ruined anyone's image of that song. But I'm not sorry, really. We've got to correct things, right? And so you are called to shine and burn like a star in the night sky in this world. I often love to go to the shopping centre because I love just standing there and people just start looking at you and they're like, I'm just smile like this. And they think, oh. And then someone eventually say, oh, what's a, or someone says, oh, you've got a really nice aura. I said, no, I haven't got an aura. It's the light of Christ. I say, what? People can feel the light of Jesus Christ emitting from you. And I want you to believe today that the light of Christ is so powerful, so magnificent, that you don't have to say any words. Peter said nothing and his shadow healed people. But his intention was, when I step my foot into this alleyway, everyone I come to contact is going to receive the emitting of this light. I find out during the week there's actually two shadows. There's a shadow from light and there's a shadow from heat. Anyone ever gone on a hot day and onto the road and you can see the waves? That's a shadow. It's actually where the air has become less dense and because of the heat and it forms a heat shadow. Anyone ever prayed for someone and heat is filling that person? You're like, what is this thing about? Am I carrying some weird thing? There's a story. You might call it weird. Amen. There's a story in the Gospels where Jesus Christ, it says Jesus stretched out his hand and healed the man. You know this story? Yeah? Stretched out his hand and healed the man, right? Well, if you go back and look at the actual wording, it means this. Genesis 1 power went into Christ's bowel, stirred his bowel like a churning butter, and fire came out of his hand into the man. Imagine if they wrote it in the Bible, no one would read it. They'd be like, oh no, so, well, you better be careful. But we're going to restore and reclaim the very essence of what God wants us in this generation to have. Amen. So phos is the first word. I'm talking about three words, phos, femi, and phano. And they're all going to be famous to you in a few moments because these words are so incredible. Phos is the word we get for light in the Bible. And so I'm just going to quickly run through these. It means to emit light. You, say with me, I am. Not a reflector. No way. You are a person who emits light. And in the Western church, we've actually said, oh, no, wait a second. That's false humility. False humility is this. Oh, no, let Jesus do it because he wants me to be. No, true humility is realizing who he is and even because of that, stepping into who you are. Amen. And so it also means this, phos. It means the heavenly light that surrounds angels. Now, if you go through the word and do a word study during the week, the next 2 weeks, about when every angel came on the earth and there was light around them, you'll recognize that people saw the light that was around the angels. When Mary gets to the tomb, how good is that it was a woman, first person to see resurrected Jesus? Hallelujah. Right? She gets to the tomb and she sees these guys, and it says that one says they're glittering, another one says they're blazing. Like, this is definite changes, right? In light. So that's the word, that's that word first, phos. And then that goes into also the light of a star. And so this word that we are to be as bright and as burning as a light of a star. Amen. Then we have phemi. I'm going to come back to these, but I'm just going to run through these quickly. And that means, how good is this? The definition, produce an epiphany. Oh, come on. I'm just going to stop here and run around. Someone better run around the room, eh? Who's ever had an epiphany in their life? How good is this? Because in Australia, people know what an epiphany is. Oh, yeah, I had an epiphany, mate. What I realized... No, I won't go into those epiphanies, but people know the language. But if you are releasing the light of Christ, it actually, the Bible says, you are releasing epiphanies everywhere. So people can step into where you are and they can receive revelation, they can receive truth, they can receive restoration in a moment because of the light of Christ coming from you. Producing an epiphany. How good's that? I was excited, eh? I ran around my own room. It says to say and declare to shine. So when the Bible talks about this in Matthew 5 in a moment, we're going to look at, it actually means this, is that when you are the light of the world, it means this, you are a star burning with speech that causes epiphanies to happen. Yeah, I know we've been taught a small gospel, but we are reclaiming what the gospel is. Amen. It also means to illuminate. Remember in The Simpsons, the intro to The Simpsons? And Homer gets that thing stuck in him and he turns green. Well, in Psalm 34, the word says this. It says that you are to be radiant. That word means to have radiation around you or radiate. What we're taught about radiation is if you take radiation, you've got to stay away from people for a few days. Amen? But spiritual. Because why? Because it says in the natural that you'll actually affect people with the radiation in your body. Yeah? That's a small, poor picture of what the light of Christ is in you. Is that when the light of Christ is flowing, when you believe what it actually is and you start to move in it, people start to get affected by it all around you. Oh, so good. So good. Amen. Oh, we're just going to move. Ooh, it means to bring into the light. Matthew 10:27 says this, that whatever is in the dark will be brought into the light and then proclaim it from the rooftops. Amen? And so when we have the light of Christ, we are bringing things that were dark into the light. And then we have pheno. So the word light comes from the word phos, and the two root words are phemi and pheno. And pheno means to cause light to burst forth, to cause it to burst forth. Who's ever seen something burst forth? You know, when you turn the light on, does the room light up? Yeah, can you judge when it lights up? No, it's so quick, isn't it? Amen. Whoa. That's what you are to the world. Yep. Jesus said the world is in darkness and you have the light of Christ. So when people encounter you, it doesn't matter if you know 74 Bible verses or the connotation or the context or you've done hermeneutics or you've done exegesis on every word of the Bible. It means this, if you believe that you carry the light of Christ, when they come into you or you come into their metron, all their darkness disappears. But it's a dangerous thing because someone can come into your dark, with the dark, they can come in and be ability illuminated and they can leave and go back into darkness. It's not enough just to have the light of Christ. People need to be saved. Amen? But what an opportunity when people come into the light of Christ that's living in you and they can experience God and then become saved. Amen? It's so good. Are we all right? Amen. Oh. Ooh. Hallelujah. Amen. So this word, bereft. I had two things the Holy Spirit spoke to me about. One was what I got this morning about the enticing spirit. But the second one was this. I want to break the power of every deprivation in your life this morning. And I want to take a sword of the Lord to every single bit of lack in you. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's a few others. But I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to come with the light of Christ and destroy lack and destroy the deprived things. How you feel like you've been deprived. I know that in my own heart, in my own walk, I've felt a sense of being deprived by other people, and when my innocence was taken away when I was 11 and 12, and when those things happen to you, you have this deprivation, you have this lack that lives in you. But I've come with an announcement from the Holy Spirit that He would like to remove that from us, and I'm just going to pray now for the light of Christ just to fill us. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for your words. And we ask now that the light of Jesus that is in us, that it would illuminate in us and it would destroy all lack. It would destroy all deprivation when we feel deprived, Lord. And Lord, in its place, the love and kindness and mercy and provision of the Holy Spirit would reside. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoa, we're running today, amen. Haven't even gone through my notes. This is still the introduction. So get ready. We could be till 6 o'clock. Amen. I'd love to have one person laugh, and that's good. Who's like, is he actually serious? Yeah. So what I want to talk about this morning is moving from reflecting to emitting. Can we join each other and let's go to Psalm 34? Psalm 34 is a really beautiful psalm. It's the famous words, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that song, oh, taste. Oh, he's good. Amen. No, I'll get carried away. I might start floating. Well, there's another email. So in verse 4 and 5, it says this, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Who can say amen? It wasn't this, oh, Jesus helped me. It was, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. In verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. And their faces shall never be ashamed. Wow. Has anyone in here been silly enough as me and tried to look at the sun with your eyes open? Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord, for some people. Use my people. Oh, Samuel, thank you. And so when you do that, what happens to your eyes? Yeah, it hurts, right? But it says that God is an all-consuming fire, amen? Yeah. Hebrews 12:29 says that. I'm not mistaken. And so when we look at the face of God, not physically, but when we spiritually look at the face of God, he is a burning man, right? And so, but we have this beautiful thing. We can look at him and become radiant without any of the negative benefits that come from looking at the sun, correct? So my question is this, if we are called to look at God, and this is for my own life as well, then why do we always find ourselves looking at the earth instead? Circumstance, problem. And I've asked the Holy Spirit to help me every time a circumstance comes or every time a situation comes that will cause me to look down, I've asked him to lift my chin so I'm looking and gazing at God. Because it says when I look at him, I will be radiant. I want to be radiant. You want to be radiant, amen? We want to be people who radiate the light of Christ, amen? Are we here together? It's good. And verse 10 says this, the young lions suffer and want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So when we look at him and we're seeking him, we lack no good thing. Jesus summed it up a bit better. He said this, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, or the kingdom, depending on what translation you look at, and everything will be added unto you. Wait a second, there was no conditions there. Just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then I'll add everything to you. Wow, that's so good. But I want to pray this morning that you believe that you deserve that. Because we've been taught in the West that his love and his power and his mercy and his kindness is conditional. And it's been put on this. It's conditional because of our behavior, or it's conditional because of our maturity, or it's conditional because of how long I've been saved. Well, the word says that if I seek his face and I seek his kingdom and his righteousness, I'll become radiant with everything I need. It actually supersedes the system of religion that says to us, you can't do that until you've got this. Amen? So just receive that as we go through today, that you are fully free, there is no lack in you, and you have the ability to walk in everything that Christ has for you right now. It's all about Jesus. 100%, I totally agree with that statement. It's all about Jesus, but it's all about you as well. And it's actually about the cosmos. I'm going to go here because this is where I got led to by the Holy Spirit. But we're just going to hang here for a little moment because I've got some notes that I'm going to start reading hopefully soon. This introduction is going a little longer than I thought. So we believe that harbors, harbors are for what? Safety? Yes? Harbours are for ship safety, yes? Yep, excellent. Do we believe that a canopy is for tree safety? So when canopies come together, they create safety for every tree? You know, they showed in northern Germany, they showed this incredible study where trees that were cut down and separated, so they had space between them, actually lived only a third of the life they should live. And trees that grew really close together lived normal life. Interesting. Yeah, we'll just ponder that for a while, amen, for about the next 100 years. But it talks about community transformation can only happen when we come close. And what happens when we're close? There's awkwardness. There's like, there's a bit of rubbing up the wrong way. Yeah, because none of you have ever been offended in your whole life. It's a joke. I've just got to be good. She's just restraining me. Amen. And then we have this incredible thing where the closer we get, the more I can share with you. You know, they've actually shown in science that trees share nutrients through the ground system, right? But this is crazy, right? If a tree is really sick, other trees will release their own nutrients and sugar into that tree until it's well enough, then they'll give it back. Wow. Ephesians 4 says to us what? That we should make room for everyone's errors, that we should build each other up until we're all mature in the faith. Amen? Amen? We can take a leap out of some trees today. I'm not saying go hug trees, right? But what I'm saying is this, is that there are things in the natural realm that are very, very good at showing us the spiritual realm. Amen? Another crazy thing about trees is, I love this, right, is that in the sub-Saharan, there's a tree called the acacia tree, and it's a very, very delicate tree, and giraffes love to eat it. But the crazy thing is that when a giraffe starts to eat the leaves of the acacia tree, it can send out to a 100-meter span messages through the root system to tell every other tree to send a toxin out, so when they come to eat the next leaf, it can't eat it. So what does it say to us? It says this, is that when you're living in community, not just... Actually, I'll rephrase that. When you're living in community, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't, but when you're living in koinonia, or koinonia, which is a kingdom family, when you live in that, what you actually do is everything you're doing is to ensure that everyone else is safe. Everyone else is secure. Everyone else has what they need. Didn't it say this? Is that as many as they were, please turn it on if you feel led to, the aircon, if you need it on. I'm just a bit hot, but that's okay. If you're hot, then please turn it on. I'm happy with it. What they say is this, is that actually the closer we get together, the more of oneness happens. And it says this, and they gave everything at the apostles' feet for everyone to share. Now, people think that is just money, right? It wasn't. It wasn't just money or provisions. It was actually spiritual things as well. Is they were all carrying graces, and those graces were freely available for everyone to walk in. We know that the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor, and probably teacher-pastor can be seen as almost one, those are graces that are given to the church by Jesus. Very different to the gifts that we know about in Romans and Corinthians through the Holy Spirit that are actually available to every single person if they want them. And what those graces actually do is they provide us with safety and security so we can be who we've always been meant to be. But they also pull us close together. They also say, you know what? It's going to be a little bit awkies, a little bit awkward at times, and that's okay. That's why you can be in a meeting and one person could be hysterically laughing and the person next to them can be sobbing and crying and it'd both be okay. That's all right. That's why some people can get really excited at one thing and the person next to them can be like, what? And then they can, another thing happens and they swap over and that's okay because we're all in this together. It's like that old ad on TV. We're all in this together. Oh. That's all right. I thought you might sing a bit. Amen. So can we please venture over to Matthew 5? We're going to see the beautiful words of Jesus Christ. You know, I was away a few weeks ago, just out of the house for a bit, and the Holy Spirit said to me, his name is not Jesus. I was like, well, fair enough. He said to me, his name is Jesus the Christ. Big difference. When Jesus walked the earth, there were many, 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 many people called Jesus because they were waiting for the Messiah to come. But there's a huge difference between just Jesus and Jesus Christ. And so we serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So let's go to Matthew 5 and just hang out here for a little while. I'm going to try and... I'm not going to go slow, but I want to communicate what the Holy Spirit has given me. And so we have this beautiful thing where Jesus has just preached the Sermon on the Mount. But please don't see the Sermon on the Mount as like a desert place. If you've been there or if you've seen pictures of the Sermon on the Mount where it actually happened, it's lush and green and beautiful and plants and trees. It's lush, very lush. And so we get down to this scripture, which is called Salt and Light. But I want to talk quickly about verse 14. It says this, "You are the light of the world." It's pretty good. No, it's amazing, right? And it says this, "You are the light." So you are the very light of Jesus Christ in the whole cosmos. It's not the word world there is not world, as in the earthly realm. That's part of the definition. But there's about seven parts of that definition. The universe is one of them. The abode above the heavens is one of them. People that are saved is one of them. And a group of unsaved people is one of them. So when we talk about a word, don't fix your eyes on the world as you know it. This actually is saying you are the light of the whole cosmos. Why is that important? It's important because Jesus didn't want you just to think about the earthly realm. He wanted you to think about things that are above. Isn't that what we're called to do? The Testament says to us, do not fix your eyes on things on the earth, but fix your eyes on things above. Does that mean we walk around the sky all day like everything's happy and, oh, look at the sky, it's so blue, oh, it's so beautiful? No, it's a spiritual thing where we lift ourselves and look at Christ and his solutions for problems, his insight for people, his ability to move and have what he wants on the earth whenever he wants it. And it says this, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. How good is that? Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Imagine this. Imagine trying to put the whole sun under a basket. That's what he's saying. Like, you think you can do it? You can't do that. And so why are we trying to hide the light he's given us? Amen. I pray for us that we would let the light of Christ out of us. When we go through a tough time, that we would actually, and I've learned this personally, is that when you go through a tough time, instead of whinging about it, which is normally my first option, I can surrender to that whinging and I can ask the light of Christ to come into that situation. And that removes bitterness from me and it removes ways of dealing with things that are not kingdom, and it actually enables me to step into the solution the kingdom has, even if I don't want to. That's just a bit of personal stuff just there. But we have a responsibility to actually live in harmony with the Lord. Yeah? Okay? So harmony with the Holy Spirit, harmony with Jesus, and harmony with God himself. And it goes on and says this, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, where's Dom, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That they would see your good works. Haven't we been taught this? Oh, you know, like when you pray, make sure you go behind closed doors. Have you heard that? That's in the Bible. But there's no contradiction here at all. Jesus is saying, listen, I've given you the light of the world, let it out. Wherever you go, ask me to let this light burst forth. I'm still trying to get over the fact that that word pheno means to actually release an epiphany. That's just phenomenal. I'm just like, whoa. Like, imagine the gravity, or think about the gravity of that. Wherever you go somewhere, the light of Christ is yearning to come out of you to release transformation and revelation to everyone around you. Could I be bold this morning? When Peter walked and his shadow healed people, he didn't use a verse. When Peter walked and his shadow healed people, he wasn't saying the name Jesus. When Peter walked and his shadow healed people, he wasn't fumbling over the doctrine of healing and deliverance. He just had realized in humility who he was in Christ, and that gift's going to come out of him regardless. Amen? Who's finding they're not having to try and be prophetic, they're just flowing now? Amen? Who's feeling now that instead of going, oh, okay, you just start flowing, amen? I believe that's a sign of maturity in Christ. As we just start to flow out of these things, we don't even think about them anymore. And that takes me to an interesting place, because in the Word of God, where it says the gifts of the Spirit, the word gift actually isn't in there. It's an English word we put in. Actually, what the translation is, when you're being spiritual, these things flow. You don't think about them, they just flow out of you, amen? Interesting thought just to hold on to as we move in this morning. Okay, so I've got a few things I want to just communicate to us, and then we're going to pray. I want to pray for some particular things this morning, and if I get a chance, I'll type these notes up and you can go and eat them, which is really nice to eat. Yep. Light can also mean, phos can also mean possessed of vitality. Wow. I was possessed of demons before I got saved, and now I'm possessed with vitality. Amen. The root word there is zeo from phos, and it means this: you are called to be endless in the kingdom. Yeah, it's too much. I should just stop saying these things, because it's going to get us all in really, really, really good places. Amen. So I want to try and communicate a couple of things that I feel like are about relationship and about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the inner room a little bit as well. So I'm going to read some things to us as we shift into this place of knowing that we have the light of Christ. So it says this, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me: our individual inner life that is being cultivated and manicured behind the scenes and away from the glare of society should be producing enough sustenance that when we venture into any place outside the secret place of His presence, we are so full of light that we emit the kingdom everywhere we go, never needing to take light from others because of insecurity, but releasing light and adding it to places, people, and systems. I'm going to read it again. Our individual inner life that is being cultivated and manicured behind the scenes and away from the glare of society should be producing enough sustenance that when we venture into any place outside the secret place of His presence, we are so full of light that we emit the kingdom everywhere we go, never needing to take light from others because of insecurity, but releasing light and adding it to places, people, and systems. When we try and prove our light is the best light, or behave in a way that tries to get our light to be the best light, we actually produce pride, which produces the shade of mistrust and arrogance. What we really need to know is how incredible and precious the light we have been is. And then that enables us to be humble with the most powerful gift that's ever been given. When we try and prove our light, I'll say it again, our light is, and we say that our light is the best light, or behave in a way that says that we need to get our light to be better than someone else's, we actually produce pride, and that actually produces a shade of arrogance and mistrust. What we really need to know is how incredible and precious the light is that we've been given. That then enables us to be humble with the most powerful gift that has ever been given to us. And I'm going to finish with this. Well, I'm never finished, but amen. Hallelujah. Shatamate. My light shouldn't cost you light, or ever draw light from you, or away from you. That is what immaturity and religion does. Ultimately, the light I produce should only ever add to the essence of the aroma of Christ that lives in you. I'll say it again. My light, or you could say your light, shouldn't cost other people light. They should never draw things from you or away from you. I believe that's where religion and immaturity live. Ultimately, the light I produce through Christ should only ever add maturity to every part of you when you are releasing the aroma of Christ. I believe that we have settled in the Western church. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. I believe that we have settled in the Western church for being people that are viewers of one man's light, told that this is the best way to go. But alas, I come here today to remind you that Jesus told you, gave you access to be, and imparted the light of the world to you. I release you today to no longer live in the shade of others because of religion or fear or condemnation or failure. I release you to be what Christ said, you are the light of the world. If it is true in the natural that a tree can only be as strong as the forest it is in, then kingdomly speaking, we can only be as strong as the koinonia or faith family we are in. The stronger, more mature we all become, the greater the expansion of his kingdom that takes place in this region. Not through effort, not through opposition, and not through false doctrine, but through the love we have for one another. The Bible says that it is by the love we have for one another that others will know who you are. Amen. Amen. Well, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word that never returns void, that is never contradictory, but is always adding to us. I pray that you would help everyone as they hear this and as they listen to it again, that they would take, Lord, everything that is really, really good, and they would eat it, and it would bring great life and release to them. And we submit this message to you, Holy Spirit, and ask you, Lord, to impart it and shape it and form it, that it would actually go forth and release light into people's life. We thank you that we haven't been given a little bit of light, because yesterday I was a good Christian and today I'm not. But you have given us the light of the world. And so we receive it now. We receive the revelation. We receive the faith to believe that you have given us the light of the world. And so we thank you this morning, Holy Spirit. We honor you. You are the only giver of gifts. No other spirit, no other system, no other place can give gifts. Only you can, Lord. And so we receive those. Jesus, we thank you for leading us continually deeper into this land of renewal. We pray where it's unfamiliar. We pray where it becomes strange sometimes. We pray where there's uncharted water, that you would actually help us see where you are in that place. And God, we thank you that you created all this for us. It says in the Word of God that you hid things on purpose for us to seek and search out. And so we say yes to the adventure. We say yes to the unknown. We say yes to the unfamiliar. And we just thank you, Yahweh, that you are leading us so diligently. Your care for us is extravagant. I pray as we minister now and as we fellowship and as we go about our weeks, that you would continue to speak the thoughts you have about us, that we would hear those thoughts, that we would receive those thoughts. Even, it says this, that are too wondrous for us, that we would receive those thoughts, Lord, that we would receive the thoughts of God about ourselves. And it would bring healing, it would bring deliverance, it would set us free from old mindsets. And Father, I ask that if any son and daughter here, and those who are listening, if anyone, Lord, is feeling the affliction of an enticing spirit, enticing them to things of the world, enticing them to pleasures of the world, we take the sword of the Lord right now. We plead the blood of Christ over those people and we decree them free from the spirit of enticement now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command that thing to go to the abyss, never to return anywhere else. And in its place, Lord, I ask that your perfect love would fill that place, that your perfect kindness, your perfect mercy, and your perfect forgiveness, Lord, would fill that place in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.